choke him, saying, "Hey, what you doing?" They were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart.
Okay, that was Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Parable of the unforgiving servant. Focus was self-appointed God. He was going to get what he wanted, correct? And bitterness, forgiveness. Forgiveness, bitterness. Okay, then in Hebrews 12, 15, who has that?
Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble, and by it defiling many.
Root of bitterness, defiling, causing sin. The handout I gave you from my Bible is Choosing Resentment, and it's a really good read because it goes into a lot of detail, has a lot of verses with it. So please look at it when you get home. And also Luke 17, 3 through 4, when a brother sins against you. Who has that one?
I have that one. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times come back to you saying, "I repent," you must forgive them.
Okay, the handout on forgiveness is also from my Bible. So again, if you will take the time to look it over when you get home, I think you will find it very helpful. It is by the power of the Trinity that we can be forgiven. We can be released from bitterness and forgive others as He has forgiven us. A description of bitterness is, first of all, what is it? What is bitterness? How does it affect our hearts, our marriage, our families, and most importantly, our relationship with our loving Lord? Bitterness is derived from the Greek root word that means sharp or pointed. When I thought of bitterness, I thought of the bitterness. Have you ever had kind of an upset stomach and you belch and bile comes up into your mouth? You can taste it, can't you? Yeah, that's bitter. So it is something that is sharp or pointed, sharp taste, and it's not very pleasing, not very satisfying. Bitterness is a sin that comes from a rebellious heart that is seeking to be justified in their rebellion. And Gary, help me out. Rick Hussey's? That's from Christie. Love That Last on page 122, he states, bitterness is that deep root that has allowed disappointment, unmet expectations, offense, or unforgiveness to deceive us into believing we didn't get what we deserved, or we got what we didn't deserve. Bitterness passes judgment on others, including God, because of their failure to satisfy some desire we have defied in our hearts. And I think that's supposed to be defined, but anyway. Self-righteous judgment seeks the faults and failures of others as it exceeds our own. It results in a failure to forgive others as we have been forgiven. Who needs to be forgiven? And what do we need to be given for? Romans 3:23.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
When can we receive forgiveness? 1 John 1:9.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Where is it demonstrated? Romans 5:8.
But God does
demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Why do we need it? Romans 6:23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
How is it shown to us and to others? Colossians 3:13.
Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive.
All right. Never really think about all those verses. They're all familiar. We all have heard them, learned them from our youth, most of us, I think. And it ends up that we don't really think about it as something that's in contrast to bitterness. And bitterness comes from our heart. So forgiveness is mercy and grace delivered from the penalty of sin. We're pardoned. It's the opposite of the punishment we deserve. In chapter 3 of The Excellent Wife by Martha Pierce, you will find a list of characteristics of sin. That would also include bitterness, unconfessed and unforgiven. It is fertile ground for the root of bitterness to grow. Sin is universal. No one is exempt. And again, we had Romans 3:23. It may be open and obvious to others, Galatians 5:19 through 21. It cannot be hidden from God, 1 Samuel 16:7. Is justly penalized, Romans 6:23 and Isaiah 53:11. Dr. Charles Stanley has said it often. I listened to him when I couldn't come to church, and he says, "You reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow." It's kind of applicable to right now. The crops are coming up. They're ready to be harvested. And all of that is a demonstration of what happens when we sow the wrong kind of seed, too, just as well as the good. Martha Peace also, I'm going to do that one later. We deserve the punishment that Christ took on himself for us, Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. However, let's read Romans 5, 1 through 5. Does anybody have that one? If you do, just start reading. Okay.
Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
Okay, how does this apply to our marriage? In the preparing for today's study, I was looking through the scripture and I came across the story of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, in Isaiah 38. He believed in and served God, but all of a sudden, one day, he decided to listen to his enemies talk, and he believed them instead of what God had promised. So God instructed Isaiah, "Go and talk to Hezekiah and tell him what's going to happen, because he's going to die." And so Isaiah did as he was told. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept bitterly. He was totally undone. What had he done? He turned his back on the God that he had been serving, that had delivered him in so many battles, that had been there for him all of his life, and now he was going to die. Well, I saw my own life in this message. How bitterness came into my life after many years of serving my Lord. And I'll cry, so just bear with me. It had changed everything. Not overnight, but my heart began to harden. My relationships began to change. With Denny, my kids, my extended family, and my church. My relationship with my Lord was hindered. He can't look on sinful rebellion. I was angry, not only at my earthly father, but at my heavenly father as well. And I asked and replayed the pain often. Hadn't I been a loyal servant since the age of 7? Hadn't I done what he had asked me to for 35 years? Hadn't I honored my parents, even my harsh, angry, sometimes cruel father? I waited on him. I wanted to marry the man he had for me. I prayed. I waited. Denny and I prayed after every single date. I knew he was the man for me. I was 16 years old when I met him. We dated 5 years. So after we got married, I taught here for over 20 years. Young hearts, how to know the Lord, how to serve the Lord, how to love the Lord, how to work for the Lord. Be careful that you don't think you're better than you are. Because about that time is when my father just let loose on me, and it hurt deeply. Did you ever wonder why it took the Israelites 40 years to go through the desert? Well, God answered that question for me. It took me 20 years. I cried out. I asked him to forgive me, to do whatever he needed. But please, Lord, please, don't give up on me. Yet I wasn't really ready to let go of my sin. So one day I said, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes. Well, I found myself on my deathbed. And I was ready to die, and I even wanted to die because the pain was horrendous, and I figured he was done with me. I was done. But the pain wasn't mine alone. That's the worst thing about bitterness, is then it's shared with everyone around you. The man you love, the kids that you adore, the people that you wanted to see serve the Lord. You're constantly on alert. Is anybody watching? Does anybody know where I'm at, what I'm doing? And in today's society, it probably wouldn't have looked that bad. But I picked up a cigarette, and I was ashamed. And I stayed away from church because you can't go to church and smoke. I was raised in a very legalistic church where, you know, you had a long list of things you had to do right. On the other side, my father had a long list of things that if I didn't do, I paid for it. Physically, emotionally, mentally. So, it, like I said, just affected everybody. Everybody I cared about, everybody I cared for. And some of those pains are in existence today that I brought on other people. I reaped what I sowed. I reaped later than I sowed. And I reaped a whole lot more than I sowed. But God in his infinite mercy and grace forgave me. He healed me and he restored me. And not just physically, but in all ways. And he has restored my soul. Now my desire is to give him the honor and glory he deserves. I thank him for everything that has happened, including the bad stuff. Why? Because it changes you. When you finally see what God was trying to do to you, through you, for you, through all of the pain, through all of the sorrow, through all of the hurt, just like in, where was it that she just read? 1 through 5. Romans? Where was I at? Romans 5, 1 through 5. Just like in that scripture. You know, he has a purpose for it all. We don't see it. We don't understand it. We don't know why it's happening, but he does. And we have a choice whether we yield to what we want or we yield to what he wants. Life is a transformation process. You don't just all of a sudden arrive. It takes a lot of things to get you to where God wants you to be, and that's what is important. So, I have joy. I have peace, no matter what the circumstance. And there have been many trials of late, but he's there for me. Not only have I been forgiven, but I have and can forgive. He healed my marriage. And ladies, I have the most wonderful husband in the world. I'll tell you. He demonstrated Christ-like love for 20 years when I was rebelling. And now, had that been in God's plan? Well, let's just put it this way. You're not so powerful that you can undo what God has planned for you. I don't know that things would have gone a different way if I had taken a different direction. I'll never know, but I do know what God did do, and he delivered me. So, we're going to have a little contest. So, let's see. You, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 against you, 4. Is that fair? Or you, 4 against you, 4, and you be the sub? Okay. So, we're going to put off and put on. What does bitterness look like, do you think? And we'll start with this side. And if you can give me a verse, you get an extra point. Not everybody at once now.
What's the question? What does bitterness look like?
What does bitterness look like?
Anger.
Anger. Very good. Okay. What's the opposite of anger?
Is that for us again?
Kindness.
Kindness. Okay. You know a verse? Anybody know a verse? You get a point.
For either one of those?
For
anger or kindness.
What would show the difference there?
The difference between anger and kindness?
Yeah, what have you got there?
Ephesians 4:32.
That's exactly the one I was thinking of. Ephesians 4:32. You know that has been our verse for our entire marriage. Read it out loud for us.
And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you.
Right, right. Okay, what's another one? Your turn.
What does bitterness look like?
Bitterness is up there. Forgiveness is up there.
Is that what we're at? What are we
at? What is a sign or a, what is... Something that comes from bitterness, or what causes bitterness?
Selfish.
What?
Selfishness.
Okay. So, who are we focused on? Self-focus, isn't it? Who is God in that instance? Yeah, we are, because we're in control deciding what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, right? Okay, what's the opposite of selfishness or self-focus? Christ-likeness. Anybody have a verse?
Romans
Da 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 da. How about Romans 12, 1 and 2? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. How do we renew our minds? Through the word, right? So, let's see, one more.
Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in holiness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves.
Very good. Where is it?
Philippians 2:3.
Oh, Philippians 2:3. Right. Okay, one more. What does bitterness look like? How do we show bitterness? How do we allow bitterness to gain a hold in our heart? Who do we seek to serve? What was I wanting to do to my father? What was I wanting to gain?
Revenge.
Revenge, right? When we're hurt and anger comes and then we keep rehearsing it in our mind, what happened to us over and over, and we become a victim instead of thinking, why is this happening to me? What should we be thinking?
What does God want to teach me?
Exactly. What does God want me to learn from what I'm going through? And then it changes your whole perspective, because then you know who is in control. God, not me, not my dad, not anybody else, just God. Okay, so what's the opposite of revenge?
Grace.
What?
Grace.
Forgiveness.
Yeah, faith, okay. You said faith, didn't you?
Grace.
Grace, yes. Okay, my grace is sufficient for you. Okay, where do you find a verse about that? Grace and revenge. Revenge and grace.
At Psalm 23, where it says, you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies.
Mm-hmm.
My cup runs over.
Psalms 23. But there's another one I'm thinking of.
Still in Romans 12:19 says, do not take revenge, my dear friends.
Right.
For God's wrath.
Romans.
It is mine to avenge, I will repay.
Right.
Now, what I like about that is that it's not ignoring the horrible thing that happened to you and trying to be a good Christian and pretend it didn't happen. I love that God acknowledges that we're sinned against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You remember, you see what Psalms 23, was it 4?
5.
Okay. All right. So on the bottom of your paper, there's an assignment. And it talks about... what you can do. I included a little outline that I use in my Bible study a lot. It's a little bitty. Some of you have seen it before. And I use it a lot, especially when I'm struggling. It helps me go and look directly at the scripture that God wants me to focus on rather than focusing on me. And it helps me to apply what I'm reading, and it helps me to understand. And it not only helps me understand, but it helps me see what the principle is, what the application is, what, I can't even remember all of it right now. The principle, command, weapon, promise, blessing, and then you have your prayer request and thanksgiving. I have been journaling since 1970, and I have journals from back then, and to see where I was and where what God brought me from and where he's taken me to is such a blessing to see it's him, it's not me. And that's probably the key idea, is that we are here to serve him, not to be served by him. Okay. Any questions, comments? We can go to a small group. And I thank you for braving the weather.